Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
I will tell you, talking with Judy Hansen every Wednesday morning is some of the most challenging moments for me, not because of her, but because of the topics of conversation, particularly over the last, of course, we're in the middle of a 10-week series on the will of God, and Judy Hansen is with a growing place here in Chico, and she is somebody who is, she always blushes when I say this, she's quite learned, quite wise, and she has a master's degree in Christian studies. And we don't always agree on everything, but we don't speak for God. No one does. We certainly don't do that. We're just bringing up discussions about the will of God and whether or not, a lot of issues with the will of God. Is it possible to know the will of God? How close does God, reveal his will to us? Is he involved in his creation? Is God interested in every detail of our lives? Is God's will inevitable no matter what we do? So much of these topic of conversations, good morning, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So much of these conversations kind of just all kind of circle around each other. So one topic begets another topic. And that's kind of where we're at here, because we're talking about today, is there such a thing as human free will, which again, we've already touched on already. And the easy answer is a quick yes. I mean, since Genesis, it's obviously clear we have a human free will.
You know, I'm going to play the devil's advocate.
Okay.
Because I don't believe what I'm about to say.
Okay.
But if someone were to say to you, are you trying to say that a sovereign God, an almighty God, is befuddled and puts the course of human events into the hands of sinful human beings who don't know what they're doing?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to give that some thought.
Yeah.
I haven't, but I guess the answer is, in some ways it might be yes, because think about this. He certainly said, you know what? I mean, when he left open the possibility of people turning against him, the answer would seem to be yes.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Even the holy angels in heaven seem to have had a choice.
Right.
And Satan led the charge, and there was war in heaven. We read in Revelation chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael the archangel fighting Satan and casting him out with his demons.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a question I love to ask my students in the church school. Who is the opposite of God? And they always say Satan. And the answer is no one.
Okay.
No one, because God is above all of his creation. He has no equal and opposite.
Are there still angels up there that would have the ability, if they wanted to say, I don't want to be in this beautiful paradise and I want to leave?
I'm sure there are, but they'd have to be insane to say so after they saw what happened to Satan.
But that's the thing. I mean, wouldn't Satan have said, well, Satan didn't realize how wonderful he had it?
I guess so. It says, I think it's in Ezekiel.
Well, then
that he was perfect. He was the perfection of beauty and perfect in wisdom and knowledge until iniquity was found in him.
So, go on.
So is there such thing as human free will? I believe there is, because if we're truly made in God's image and likeness, God is a free agent and we are a free agent. However, our free agency is limited because we are creatures. God's free agency is unlimited.
Well, it just occurred to me as you were saying that, what I was thinking about before I lost my mental abilities there, by having a contrast of heaven and hell, of sin and no sin, that it allows you to appreciate better what we have in God. Whereas, obviously, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't have that contrast. He thought, oh, well, this is the way it is. Gee, I had no idea that it was going to be this bad if I left God.
Oh,
if
that
I
was, had, no, that was, Michael was the one who opposed him. Michael is the leader of the armies of God.
But you're right. But
Satan, some people say his name was the bright morning star, was Lucifer.
Lucifer, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what his name was before the fall, but afterwards, you know.
Let's say it was Lucifer. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, the Satan. If Satan, before he, if he had known what was in store for him, wouldn't he have said, "Holy smokes, I've got it really good right here. I'm not gonna go against this."
That's an incredible question, and I have no answer to it.
Yeah,
because he became envious of God, and he wanted the worship of that God was getting.
So the good part of what happened with the sin is it gave us as human beings a contrast to determine which choice we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So the contrast, in a strange, I don't want to say it's a blessing, sin is not a blessing, but there was something positive
God
that's come out of it.
God brought good out of it, and he knew we were going to do it in the garden. And you know, what I've meditated upon, and I have a hard time coming up with answers for, is when the Lord told Adam and Eve before the fall that if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. They didn't know what death was.
Mm-hmm.
All they knew was, don't eat it, something bad's going to happen. That's what they had of the will of God. That's what they knew of God's will. So it wasn't something they could figure out with their mind. It had to be an act of their will, of their human will. And then what happened was, in my opinion, that's just all my analysis.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion, what happened was the enemy enticed Eve's mind and her heart so that she would forget her will, her soul, because she looks at it. It looks good. The mind is trying to reason it out. It looks good. Her heart says it's something to be desired. Her mind says, again, you're going to become wise. You're going to become like God. And so, but she left aside her will, which would be to follow God.
We'll go to a break, but then wasn't God kind of unfair? That's what we're going to go to break on. Because Eve and Adam didn't know what the consequences were. Because some people might say, well, God set them up for failure because he didn't show them the alternative because they didn't know what death was. We'll continue our chat with Gidi after this.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is live local talk.
All right. I mean no disrespect to the Lord. Did God set us up for failure? That's the question we're asking here. Because by having Adam and Eve, God says, here, do not do this. Do not do this. Do not touch this. Do not grab this fruit. And surely you will die. Well, if Adam and Eve didn't understand what death was, they had nothing to compare what they had to what they would be left with if they disobeyed God. Is that sort of unfair? Did God set Adam and Eve and all of the human race up for failure? Was that his will? Gosh, no one. I don't know the answer. Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place is with us. Gidi studies this stuff on a regular basis. She has a master's degree in Christian studies, and we've been talking about the will of God now for the sixth week in a 10-week series. Did God set us up for failure?
Okay, that's a really good question. So remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness?
Mm-hmm.
He responded to those temptations, and he had a physical body like Adam and Eve, and he had a mind, and I mean, he had all kinds of ways he could have reasoned himself out of it. But when push came to shove, Jesus, who is God incarnate, clung to the word of God. He clung to what God had said.
But in fairness, I could hear someone saying, yeah, but Jesus, he knew what the consequences of sin were. Adam and Eve didn't know. They had nothing to compare it to.
Okay.
Jesus did.
Jesus knew the consequences, but Adam and Eve knew enough. Okay, let's change the subject for a second. And it's answering the question, but it's using a different analogy. We are made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, we have to have the ability to choose. Otherwise, we're robots.
Agreed.
We're programmed, and we do God's will. Okay? That, to me, is not being made in the image and likeness of God. In order to be made in the image and likeness of God and to have some sort of free agency in a limited way as a creature, there has to have been a choice in the garden.
Okay.
There had to have been a choice for them. If there was no choice, there was no freedom.
But, okay, after God gave the choice and after the decision was made, he gave, you know, pain and childbirth. He provided
suffering. Okay, just I haven't exhausted the subject
yet.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So how is he going to give a choice to Adam and Eve? Mm-hmm. He's going to use the materials that are at hand. They're in a garden. Adam's job is to tend the trees and tend the fruit. So he has the tree of life right next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. And he gives them a command. You can eat of every tree in the garden except for this one, in order to give them the freedom and the ability to be made in his image. Now, to break the commandment of God, to break his will, there had to be a consequence, and God saw that consequence, and he named it. Now, did Adam and Eve fully understand the consequences? No, but they did fully understand what God told them to do and not to do, in a way much clearer than we do, because their minds were not clouded by sin the way our minds is. You could almost turn this question around and say, is it unfair of God to ask us not to sin? Because Adam and Eve they had no draw towards sin. They had no magnetism towards sin. They had to fight like a railroad car trying to get off the track, to make a new track for themselves, to go off into the wilderness and into sin in order to do it.
But if Eve knew that she was going to, if she had a picture of what it would be like, because we go back and we say, well, knowing what we know now, why were Adam and Eve so stupid to do what they did? And some people might say, well, because they didn't.
I can't say that, because I could say the same about myself.
Of course.
Why am I so stupid every time I choose the wrong thing and I sin?
Right.
So I don't judge them.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I'm just saying they had a better chance of making the right choice than you and I do in some ways.
Because they saw God.
Face to face. And they were not clouded by sin. They were not pulled by it the way we are.
Uh-huh.
So there's another case you could make.
So but God wants to give us free will.
Yes, I believe so.
So some people would say he wanted sin because without sin
he wanted choice.
Choice.
Choice is not sin.
But if you don't choose, make the right choice, it's a sin.
Yes, just like the angels in heaven. He gave them freedom to choose. Some of them chose to rebel, some of them chose not to.
So providing a venue to sin is God still uses sin for people to make a choice. So
he gives an alternative, a good alternative and a wrong alternative.
So you would say Jesus that God did not create sin.
No, we created sin and death.
But God created the possibility of sin.
Yes, to give us a choice.
To give us a choice.
Excellently put.
Okay.
That's a very good delineation of what I'm trying to say.
So he gave us an option.
He gave us an arena in which we could exercise our choice.
Okay.
That's how I look at it.
Okay, that makes sense. Sometimes I still feel bad for Adam and Eve because they did not, and even Satan, when he fell from heaven, did not know the consequences of his decision. Now we at least know the consequences of our decision. If we sin, we face eternal damnation.
Yes, yes. And so also I believe that, you know, God judges us on what we know, not on what we don't know.
All right. We got one more.
And, you know, by that that by that point there was so much evil happening in Satan's heart, it was inevitable that he'd get kicked out of heaven.
All right. We're going to take a break, and then we'll wrap things up right after this break.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
Yeah, my mind is working overtime today. We're talking to Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place about the will of God and free will. By the way, Gidi Hansen, if you're looking for marriage and family advice and help and or other issues, maybe marital problems. It could be maybe you're suffering from depression or addictions. Maybe you're having some child-rearing problems. This is, The Growing Place is a wonderful place to go to. They focus on Christian beliefs just to solve our problems, but does not necessarily have to be that. Even if you're somebody who is not a person of faith, they're still there to help. Their website address is at tgplace.com, TG for The Growing, and then place.com, tgplace.com. Their phone number is 588-0448. Wrapping up our discussion today, is there a thing as human free will? And again, my brain has been working into overtime, Gidi, trying to wrap my head around all of this.
Yes, me
and
too.
It goes back to the beginning of time and you know, God creating an avenue for us to sin, hoping that we wouldn't choose that avenue. And I've heard some people say, well, he wants to be loved, not because you want to be loved. So does God want to be loved? Does he need to be loved? Is his desire to be loved? And by forcing somebody, because the atheist will always say, why doesn't God just show himself? Because that's not, you know.
That would take away our choice.
That
really
would take away our choice.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a dictatorship. And God's not a dictator, is he?
No, he's not. And I'm glad you brought up the subject of love, because that's really what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If God is the lover and we are the beloved, if the beloved has no choice in the relationship with God, then it's really like, in my opinion, it's like rape. It's forced.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I think God wants our love.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he needs it.
Exactly.
He does not need anything.
Whereas we as human beings, we want the love of people and our family, and we do need it.
Yes.
We need it as well. We need love. God
yes.
doesn't need love.
Yes, he doesn't need it. He wants to share his love.
Uh-huh.
It's his desire to pour it out on everybody.
Uh-huh.
That's his desire, but he's not a codependent God that needs to do these things.
This is always a question I get from my kids. They have religious upbringing, and they ask these questions. Why doesn't God just show himself and just explain? And the answer is always is basically this, is God wants you to, he doesn't want to force you to love him.
No.
He wants you to love him because, but it's important when we talk about his will, and it goes back to other avenues, because it's hard to keep our faith sometimes when we don't have evidence that he's there and working in our lives, and which is why we say, is it possible that God reveal his will to us? I think it's important for God to do that in our lives.
He does, and I think
restore our faith.
It's received through faith. You know, faith is the evidence of things unseen.
Mm-hmm.
So the hope of what we are expecting. So he does reveal it to us, but not, you know, in a ticker tape, writing it across the sky in morning headlines of the newspaper necessarily.
Yeah, we have to emphasize again, we don't know.
Right.
We don't
know. But he gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us the Bible. He gives us a personal relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us circumstances. He gives us a prayer life. He gives us the church. He gives us so many ways that we can be in relationship with him and discern his will.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. Now, are we infallible in that? No.
Mm-hmm.
We are fallible. We miss it. So it's not about infallibility, but it is about possibility, and I do believe it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe God wants us to know his will because he has made us free agents in a limited sense as a creature.
Sometimes when I get in these discussions, I think, boy, heaven must be one great place because, I mean, you go through some of the things that we go through here on earth and you think, boy, am I doing the right thing? And sometimes it'll be something so beautiful and I'll think, gosh, how could heaven be better than this? Maybe you go to a place, just kind of want, you go to Lake, sometimes like when I'm at Lake Tahoe, I think, oh, this really is heaven's country. Yeah. This is the way this, is it, could heaven be better than this? Or I'll listen to a wonderful song on the radio and I'll think, I mean, is there actually going to be better music in heaven than what I'm listening to right now?
You know what I think is happening there, and C.S. Lewis writes about this beautifully. In those moments when we are transfixed and transformed by something in the creation, is when God is kissing us.
Oh, that's neat.
Is when we are actually experiencing something supernatural.
You know,
and he uses these outward means as a way of delivering it to us.
It comes back to a previous discussion on another show. Is some music by in the film The Mission, which is just, to me, when God hears music and listens to music, this is what he would listen to. He would turn this on in his spare time. But I want to listen to some really good music. And I think as great as that music is, I bet when we go into heaven, it's even 100 times better than that.
You know what I think is music to God is a soul repenting.
Okay.
Is a soul turning from sin and turning to God.
Mm-hmm.
I think our tears, our crying can be music to his ears. Our humility, our confessions. I mean, my music is not your music, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's like his whole viewpoint is so different from ours.
And then sometimes that's hard to understand because if we're made in his image, we have to believe that he shares some of our likes and maybe even dislikes. Does he share our taste? Does he like this type of comedy or this type of comedy? We know he doesn't like comedy, which is, you know, raw and filthy, but does he laugh at the same things we laugh at?
I think he has a sense of humor. Otherwise, where did ours come from?
Exactly.
I mean, sometimes I think just look in the mirror and you'll know that God has a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at us.
Right, right. Good way to end the show. Gidi, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
What a
privilege.
Oh, no, the privilege is all mine. Thank you so much. We're going to continue our discussion on the will of God next week. We'll discuss if human free will exists, how do God's sovereignty and human free will interact? All right, more deep discussion next Wednesday. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a good rest of your day.